us to turn to the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. We're just going to read a portion here that Jesus said, and then we're going to go to another text. But I just wanted to start out with this. So I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us with the word. Father, thank you for this word of God, which is so strong and powerful, working in our lives and giving us victory and strength, Lord God. Father, how faithful you have been in the times past. You've always been there to help us, to strengthen us, and you will always. Lord, I pray for every person in this meeting this morning that they will realize how faithful our God is. He is always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always on our side, trying to help us and support us. Father, we praise you today. We pray you'll bless this word we're bringing in Jesus' holy name. Glory to God. This is Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. This is the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not talking about working on a job. I know I've worked on jobs many, many times, and I know how tiring it gets, and it can just run on and on. Our dear brother back here was just telling me how many hours this week he's worked, over 100 hours this week, working solid. That's amazing. So what do we need when we are heavy laden, when we have all kinds of trials and tests? We need to be refreshed, and so the Lord is there. He will come in, and he will give us rest. Praise the Lord. That word means to be refreshed in the Greek. Number 29, "Take my yoke up on you and learn of me." Now, that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to follow him. He's carrying a yoke, and he wants us to follow him and do that same thing. And then he says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Praise the Lord. You'll be refreshed in the Lord when you turn to him and ask him to help you. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In those days, of course, they used animals, you know, like big bulls and those kind of animals to carry big burdens and all the kinds of things. So they wore a yoke, they had yokes on them, yokes on donkeys and things like that. And so Jesus says that he's like that. He has a yoke on him that he will always take care of us. His yoke is grace and peace of God. And when we come to him, you know, there's not a one of us that hasn't had a trial that you just felt like you didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know if you could make it through it, but the Lord is always there. His yoke is easy. What he wants us to do is just come into him and let him be our number one. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the book of Luke. We're going to read a little scripture here. Of course, we know that that was the words of Jesus that we just read. And we're going to go to the 18th chapter of Luke. And we're going to begin reading with verse 9. Jesus told one of his parables. I hope all of you know that. They're little stories that he told to emphasize something he wanted to bring out. And it's very, very, it's a good way to do. So we're reading in verse 9 of chapter 18 of Luke. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Trusting in yourself, it won't work. We have to trust in God, don't we? Now, he tells this little story. Verse 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican." I think all of us were what Pharisees were. That was one of the groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Jesus' time. The Pharisees really thought they were holy and righteous and all of that, and very self-righteous. But the publican is considered to be a very low individual because they were Jewish people, who men especially, who became servants of the Romans to collect money from the Jewish people. The Romans were taxing everybody, And so this was considered to be a terrible job, and people did not think that a publican was worth a thing. And that Jesus gave that thing about, as it says here, the publican was standing afar off. We're going to go ahead and read that. Okay, so coming on down to verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I like that. He prayed with himself. That's about as far as his prayers went. See, that's a lesson for us. Don't pray with yourself. Pray to the Lord. He's the only one that hears our cries. We can repeat something over and over. Oh, I wish I had that. I wish things would change. And it doesn't work that way. We are to pray to the Lord, not to ourselves. And this is what he said. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm so holy. I never do a thing wrong. I hope none of us feel that way about ourselves, because we all have a human nature. We all are subject to problems like that. But he said, I'm not like other men are, extortionists. He names different things, extortionists and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. Can you imagine how self-righteous he was? Here's this poor man standing there wanting to pray to God, and he's saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that person. That's judgmental, isn't it? And you know what? Our flesh will do that. It will judge other people. We see them do something, and you know, oh, my goodness, look at them. Why are they doing that? You know, and we accuse, too. So that's something that's not of God. And then notice in verse 12, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes to all of all that I possess. I did all this wonderful stuff. I wrote in my margin of my Bible there, and I'll read it to you. I wrote, God doesn't expect perfection, not in ourselves. He doesn't expect perfection in ourselves. He expects the perfection of Christ in our life. And that's when we completely depend on the Lord to help us with something. That's the perfection of Christ. When we ask him to change us, that's because he can do that, not that I can do it or I can be better. You know, I can say all day, I'll not do that again, I'll not do that again, I will not do that again, and I will do that again, because that's the way the flesh is. But when we walk in the Spirit and let the Lord work, he's going to help us. Now, on the other hand, we have this man, the publican. And he, as I said, was a man that was hated by the regular Jews, especially the religious ones. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized who he was. He recognized his need. He needed the Lord. And oh, that is such a lesson to all of us. We cannot overcome by ourselves. There is no way. There is no way, when we've had sorrows and tests, that we can just say, not going to think of it anymore. I'm going to be fine. I'm not going on. I'm not going to think of it. That's what I've done in my life a lot of times. I'm not going to think of it anymore. And the next minute I realize I'm thinking about it again, you know. So praise the Lord. He said so beautifully, have mercy on me as a sinner. I am a sinner before you. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I hope all of us really realize that it's not by our acting self-righteous that we're going to gain anything with the Lord. It's by committing ourselves just to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I know I have mistakes at times. I'm asking you to help me. Just work in my life and give me the victory in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The opposite of being humble, we have as one of the meanings that we're going to talk about, being humble before the Lord. The opposite of humbleness is pride and arrogance. pride and arrogance. I am a better person than you. I don't do anything wrong. See how arrogant that is? Now, what it means in with the opposite of pride and arrogance is that being prideful is a haughty thing. I am better than others. I follow God more closely. See, we don't have that right to do that. It also speaks of elation. In other words, I'm elated about everything I do. I'm so perfect, you know. So it's against the things of God, isn't it? And as I read to you in there in Matthew about the Lord telling us how he wanted to work for us and love us. Did I read that to you? Matthew 11, a while ago. I was reading Luke. Okay. There's a psalm that is the Old Testament, Psalm 10:2, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." See, that's the way the people of the world act. We're Christians. We're supposed to be different, right? We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be prideful in ourselves, in our countenance, and what we can do. But it says the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. I'm sure you have had, as I have had, times when I've felt like helpless, where I have to have the Lord help me. And that's the only way to go, is to realize I am not sufficient in myself. And the more as I get older, I feel less sufficient in myself because I make mistakes. I don't like making mistakes. I know you don't either, but I make mistakes occasionally. And so I have to trust in God. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." So anytime that we catch ourselves feeling like I'm really a great person, you know, I always do the right things. I'm just so pure and wonderful. And, you know, then the Lord just says, hey, you need me. You need me. So we're going to look in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And after I got this sermon, I realized that our brother has been teaching on Wednesday night from this book of 1 Peter, and I think this might be his next lesson. And even this morning, I went back and thought, maybe I shouldn't teach that because I forgot that he was preaching that. So come out on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and you'll enjoy the lessons that we're having. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 5, just the first verses, but it says, praise the Lord. It says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." It doesn't say the poor people that only been coming a while. It says the elders. That means those that are older in the Lord, and especially elders are people who are chosen by the assembly or by the Lord, especially to have places in the body of Christ that help others. So he says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." It's a spiritual, if you're looking at something to find out what it means a spiritual person in the office as a bishop, we call them elders. It says, "And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." As we grow in Christ, we have trials, we have tests. And even if we are a very spiritual person, we're going to have tests and we're going to have trials. And those things are very hard sometimes to manage. We know that we need more strength, we know we need more vigor and all the things that we think of, and we are not very strong in ourselves. And so we just have to really depend on the Lord God, don't we? Praise the Lord. So he admonishes us here. In verse 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, That is one of the most important responsibilities of anyone who teaches and preaches. It has to be the pure Word of God. The Word of God, not our own idea or some additional thing that we add, because the Bible says we're not supposed to add to the Word of God. That's, the Bible particularly says that, but we know people that do that. And they have doctrines that are very far-fetched because they added something themselves. But we don't want to do that. We want to feed. We want to have this as our duty of what we're to do. It means we must teach and preach the pure Word of God. And if you're not a minister, I'm not preaching just to the ministers, all of us have opportunity to witness and talk about the Lord. But we need to be very careful that we bring forth the Word of God to people in a kind and loving way. It doesn't help if you say, okay, you're a sinner, you got to change your life. You know, it immediately usually freezes somebody up before they don't go talk to you, because they don't realize that. But if you talk to them about the love of Jesus and you begin to feed them something spiritual, then it's a blessing. So I have here, this is what produces spiritual growth in the people of God. As it says there, in many places in the Word of God, that the growth comes when the Word of God is preached. Now let's go on in the latter part of that verse 2. It says, not by constraint, not telling them now, God is going to punish you if you don't do so-and-so. It's not by constraint, but it's willingly that we come to love the Lord God and we teach others the Word. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Too bad. Too bad. Many, many preachers preach for filthy lucre. Getting paid greater and greater and greater. I remember years ago, we had a minister that was quite popular on TV, and he had a doghouse that was inlaid with gold and all this stuff, you know, and he was always begging for money, and the Lord canned him. The Lord took him away. He is back in one sense, but not like he used to be. So God doesn't want us to be that way. If we are ministers or people that God uses in any respect in the church, we want to be humble and not be just doing it for money. Praise the Lord. So notice verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. If you're a faithful person to God, maybe you don't have the title of elder, or maybe you don't have the title of the pastor or whatever, but he wants each of us to be humble before him and to let him be the chief. Notice that? Not an Indian chief, but a chief, the top one, the one who reigns, the one who controls us. And very soon he's going to appear. That says, when he appears, then you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's when it's all going to happen. If we get a crown of glory, it's going to be when Jesus Christ comes. Can you imagine? Oh, just praise him for that. I cannot imagine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because I am just a human being. I can think about it and talk about it. Say, I believe he's coming soon. Look at the condition of the United States. Look at the storms we're having. Look at all the junk that's happening. And in the world today, Monaco, wasn't it, that's just been hit by this horrible, horrible earthquake. And other places, just one after the other happening in this world. I think the Lord is shaking the earth saying, hey, wake up down there. You need me. You need me to walk with you. You need to walk with me, and I need to walk with you. Come on now. He's trying to take people, trying to make them listen to what he's saying. Hallelujah. And so We're looking for that crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The younger submit to the elder. The word submit there means in subjection or to put under in God's plan. And this is how that the assembly works, really. The adults of the truth of word, and they understand the word, they are to be the ones that lead others. You don't have to be a preacher to lead. You lead in your life. You lead in your testimony. You lead in the way you talk with the saints before the meeting. Encouraging others. Be one of those encouragers that keeps talking about Jesus and loving Jesus. Hallelujah. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Notice that it says we're all subject to one another. We should be all constantly helping one another. We all have trials. We all have tests. And we need to when a person is having a trouble, we need to surround them, hold them up, pray for them, call them on the phone, encourage them, tell them how much we love them. That's our part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Why should we be humble? I know people that don't like to be humble. Do you? Yep, every once in a while you meet one. It's really self-satisfied. But there, notice in verse 5 again, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble. Now, what is grace? I hope you could quote it backwards, what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor of God. We do not deserve it at all. He loves us, and he takes care of us, and he guards us, and he's constantly encouraging us because he loves us. That's grace. The works of the law, see, are the opposite. A lot of churches believe you got to do this, you got to do something else, you got to do this to please God, because God isn't going to like you otherwise. And so, but we are under grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have this fleshly nature, and the other part of it is pride. 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 The word pride in the Bible means haughty. Elated, I'm just a little bit smarter and a little bit better than everybody else. I am elated. Grandeur and loftiness, that's pride. You know what happens to pride? I know, I can tell you. About the time we start to get prideful, you know what happens? The wind gets knocked out of us. Something happens. Something happens that really knocks us down, because God doesn't want us to be prideful. And so he will allow something to come into our life that is really hard. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to go to the second chapter of 1 John. We're just going to begin reading with verse 15 there. Now here he gives us some instruction. This is John, one of the disciples that Jesus loved. He leaned on Jesus a lot when he was a young disciple that was really needing the comfort Jesus had. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that possible that we can love the world more than we love God? Yep. That's possible. That's why he's telling us this. Number one thing, When Jesus comes back, it's for those who supremely love him. That's are the people that are going to be in the bride of Christ, is loving Jesus supremely. Love him better than we love anybody and anything. Praise the Lord. So, going ahead and reading. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And those in that verse right there, we see the three parts of our human nature. The lust of the flesh, that's bodily temptation, things that tempt us in the body. And then the next one is the lust of the eyes, which is a soully temptation, S-O-U-L-I-S-H. The soul of us, we all have a soul, by the way. The soulish nature governs the lusts and the desires and the memories and the conscience of man. That's of women, too. That's our soul. And then it says the lust of the eyes. Yeah, it says the lust of the eyes first, doesn't it? And then it says the pride of life. The pride of life is self-confidence. And it's boasting and prideful. And that is the spirit of man. It's representing the spirit of man. So pride is the opposite of humbleness. Pride, being prideful. You and I all have it. We all have it. And in our daily life, we learn to judge our prideful nature. Judge it. Not right before God to say that you like something so much better that it just takes up your life. Let's see. And I'm just going to quote this to you. In Matthew 18:4, Jesus said, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that mean, humble? Well, in the Greek, this is what it means, to depress. Okay, so if I am a person who's always exalting myself, I'm not humble before the Lord. If I think I am the greatest person, I am so wonderful, everybody has to hear me, you know. That's pride. That's the opposite, see. So to depress, it means abase. It means being low and to humiliate. Okay, so we don't have to, you know, some people go to the extent of not doing anything for themselves and acting weird. But that isn't what the Lord is speaking of there. He's talking about not letting our fleshly nature govern us where we only please ourselves. See, that's not humbleness. We please ourselves. We don't think of other people. In Matthew 23:12, it says, whosoever shall exalt, and that means to elevate ourselves or lift up himself, shall be abased. And that word abased in the Greek means depress, humiliated, and bring low. Have you ever had that experience? You probably had, because we're all human, and we you know, go along, and we feel real exalted sometimes in ourselves, and all of a sudden, wham, we fall on our face. We don't have it there. And he, it says, speaking of the Lord, the person that humbles himself, he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Okay. Humble yourself. Now, that sounds like self-effort, doesn't it? Like, I'm going to get up and say, now, today I'm going to be so humble. I am just going to go around being humble. That's not what it means at all. How do you humble yourself? You give yourself to the Lord. You just say, here I am, Lord. Take care of, take me. Whatever I am, you work in me. You give me your strength. And the word exalted there means to elevate and to lift up. And that's what will take place when we are humble before the Lord. And tell you something else. often God humbles us. We think about, well, I know I'm not humble sometimes, so I better talk to God about this, okay? That's true. But a lot of times we get very prideful, and the Lord will send something our way that really humbles us. And we've all gone through it. I could ask you, it'd take quite a while, so I won't do that. But I could ask each of you to tell me how you were humbled, and you would tell me how you were humbled. That's the way it is. Because we are humans, we exalt ourselves sometimes when we really shouldn't. Praise the name of Jesus. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when we have the Spirit come into our life, we have the Spirit of Christ, then when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. So there's a thing that comes from that, like the apples on the tree. The tree can stand there, but the apples grow. Don't we love the apples? We love the blossoms. Those are the things that show. Well, this fruit of the Spirit, it says there, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which means self-control. And against such, there is no law. And I have written, I think it's in the one of the versions, it says, there is no law that can bring a charge. There is nothing that can stop this kind of goodness that the Lord works in our life. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Praise the Lord. It's hard to be humble sometimes. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to realize that we in ourselves can do nothing, but we certainly can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember that verse? Romans 8:28. I can do all things. If the devil tells you, I can't do it, I don't have victory, I can't do it, say, I can't do it. That's true. I can't do it. I've got to depend on the Lord to come in and give me that victory. I'm just not going to have you turn to this verse either in closing here, but this is 2 Chronicles 34:27. This is concerning a king. His name was Josiah. And the Lord it was a bad time. Israel was in a bad mess. And you can read that in 2 Chronicles. But the Lord really did bless him because he wanted to walk with God. He wanted to yield to God. And this is what it says there in verse 27. Because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and humbled thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes, not read, but rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, says the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Notice that again. God spoke these words, and Josiah heard it. He heard the Lord say this to him. Wouldn't that be a great thing to hear the Lord speak, literally? And the Lord's told him, humble thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes. See, these were things he did. And weep before me. I have even heard thee also, says the Lord. So I'm going to ask you, do you think the Lord hears you? Does he have something that he holds against us? He says, can he hear us? That's not true. He does not ever turn his ear away from us. We are his children. He loves us, and he hears our voice when we speak to him. So I hope that everyone here can say, I hear the voice of the Lord speak to me. Usually it's something from the scripture or something someone says or something in our prayer life, and or I hear this when I'm working around in my house or something like that, and I'm kind of going through a trial or something, suddenly a scripture comes. It's so comforting. I think that the Lord does this. Praise the Lord. So I hope that each one of us hear from the Lord. That's it today.
Glory to God.